that you would be with us, that you would help us to walk with you, help us to grow, help us to learn about you and to be your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
You should turn that on. I'd like to look at a few words here. Very similar words, or at least most of the letters in it are the same. I'll try to spell it right here. So what is that word right there? Courage. What's another word, a bigger word? Someone that's under 10 years old. What is a bigger word than that, that has all of those letters in it and more? Anybody under 10 know any big words? How about under 12? Encourage. Okay. Very good, Spencer. So we got encourage. And how about another one? Discourage? What was the other? I heard something else over there. Oh. Courageous. That is another good one. That wasn't one I was thinking about. But that was very, very good. And so turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And let's start in verse 6. God speaking to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. God says, "Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Who can tell me what is the dictionary definition of courage? What is that? What would you? Well, it doesn't have to be the dictionary definition. What do you think it means? The ability to act in the face of danger. That's very good. That's very, very similar to what the dictionary told me. You may be more right than the dictionary. You never know. The ability to do something that frightens one. The ability to do something that frightens someone. Okay. Have you ever been frightened? When I was young, he didn't have power, and so he had to go turn the generator on outside. And I was very frightened. I'd read Laura Ingalls Wilder, and I was very frightened that there was going to be a cougar or a mountain lion in the tree waiting to pounce on me. I was very frightened of that. I never got attacked by one. But sometimes I had to do that in face of being frightened. Now, what was God asking Joshua to do here? Well, he was asking him to do something that 10 out of 12 spies, what's that? 80, 82%, 83% of the spies had said was a terrible idea. Hey, compared to those guys in that land, we're like grasshopper size, and their grapes are, you know, so big it takes two people to carry a bunch. So God repeated many, multiple times the importance of him having courage, the ability to do something that frightens him. See, do you think Joshua was afraid? Joshua and Caleb, do you think they were afraid of the people in the land? I think so. They weren't just completely oblivious to the fact that they had strong armies and, you know, strong cities. I mean, Jericho had these big walls. You know, it's a bad idea to attack a city with walls. You come up to fight that and they're going to throw stones down and crush your skull. That's a bad idea. But Joshua, the difference between him and the other spies, the difference between him and all the ones whose corpses fell in the wilderness, was that he decided he was able to do something that frightened him. He was able to be courageous. How many people want to be courageous? How many people want to go out there with the mountain lion in the tree right above you, or at least the pretend mountain lion? We all want it. We want that, but it's hard, right? It's easy to get scared. And so, what do you think these other two words mean? Encourage and discourage.
Encourage someone or take it away from them.
Yeah. So if you're discouraging someone, you're saying, it's too scary. You can't do that. And if you encourage someone, you say, hey, I understand that it's tough. I understand that it's not going to be easy. But I believe that you can do it in spite of that. I think, how many of you have ever felt discouraged? Like in the past 24 hours, probably a lot, right? at least in the past, in your lifetime, right? You've been discouraged at one time or another. And there's big discouragements and little discouragements. I think, you know, little discouragements happen every time you drive. It's like, why are those people going so slow? It's like, we are never going to get there. But little discouragements happen. But life looks pretty, you know, life looks pretty uncertain. We have a reasonable idea of what happened in the past. And besides what's predicted in God's Word, we don't have any idea of what's going to happen in the future. It's pretty unpredictable. But God, when God spoke that to Joshua, I think he was speaking it more than just to him personally. It wasn't just Joshua who went by himself to conquer the land of Canaan. He was speaking it to Joshua, to Caleb, to all the children of Israel, all the different tribes, the ones who had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And I think if I'd wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, I'd eaten nothing but manna, seen nothing but sand, I think it would be pretty tempting to get discouraged. It'd be like, what's the whole purpose of life? I'm just out here meandering in the wilderness, back and forth, back and forth. And I think sometimes in life that it's easy to think that way. It's easy to think, well, you know, I just wake up. I think my wife sometimes thinks this. I just wake up and one baby needs his pamper changed, then one baby needs to be comforted, and one baby needs to be fed, and then now another one needs their pamper changed. And it just goes on, and it's kind of like eating manna in the wilderness and seeing sand all day. But in spite of that, we need we've got a destination to go. We have the promised land to enter, just like they did. And we are a team. We are a body, just like the children of Israel were there. They had been placed together with all those other tribes. They'd been placed in a group of, you know, complainers, right? They were around people that didn't like quail when quail came, but before the quail came, they couldn't wait to get some quail. Couldn't wait to get some meat. And I think sometimes it's easy to think, oh man, God, it'd be so much easier if, you know, Otto Koning would have said, I could be such a great missionary if it wasn't for you people. You know, it's like, it's really easy to think, my problems are all based on the people around me, or the problems are all based on my circumstances. If my circumstances were better, well, then I'd be better. I don't know. I think I heard a quote recently, and it said something like this. It said, it's true your life is screwed up, but you made it that way. And I thought about that to myself, and it's like, yep. A lot of the problems in my life are because of my own stupid decisions. Because of the things that I should have done and didn't do, shouldn't have done and did. But we're all a group of people who don't have it all together. We all want to be courageous. We all want to do the right thing. I think we all want to see Jesus face to face and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But it's easy to get discouraged. And I want to encourage us that part of the reason why you're here, part of the reason why you come to church, part of the reason why you're better off if you're able to be here than just to listen in, is because it's your job to encourage that person next to you. It's your job to help build courage in your fellow believers here. Because statistically, there's people that are feeling really discouraged right now, right here. And some people are better at hiding it than others. Some people are really good at putting on a smile and pretending like everything's just fine. But they need your encouragement. You're put here for a purpose, to help build courage, which really is faith. It's the idea of, I'm going to do the right thing even though it frightens me. I'm going to encourage us to do a number of things. And these are things I think we should encourage each other in. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. So number one, Isaiah chapter 1. Let's find her here. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord." You want to, as we're encouraging each other, I want to encourage each other to think. Think critically. God says, "Come, let us reason together." There's going to be times when you're going to see something, you're going to see something that the world says, and they're going to be like, "Wait, how does that make sense with the Bible?" They're going to be like, "This rock is 4.7 billion years old, and I am a scientist, so you must believe me." And And you're like, man, he looks pretty smart. And there's going to be a temptation. There's going to be a temptation to not think. The temptation is going to be to pull away and be like, I don't want to think about that because it might challenge me. But if every time someone challenges you, every time someone says, you know, why do you think it's that important that you wear a head covering? And you're just like, well, maybe it isn't that important. I don't know. No, I want to encourage you to think. God says, come now and let us reason together. I think one of the things that's happened in a lot of churches is people get told what to think, how we're going to do it, and they say, it's going to be easier for me not to think. It's going to be easier for me to just go along with the way the rest of my church does it. And that's going to work real well until, oh, somebody bumped into me and offended me. And now I don't feel welcome in this church. And now I'm just going to leave. And I'm going to do it the exact opposite of the way my church did it. Why does that happen? That happens because you didn't think. God says, come, let us reason together. God's given you His Word. He's given you your mind. He's given you your logic. And we need to encourage each other to think critically, to think for yourselves, to read your Bible, to take it for what it says. Second of all, we want to encourage each other. These are important things. If we, you know, we want to see on Judgment Day, we want to see each of those that are here around us, we want to see them with a smile on their face, looking into the face of Jesus, hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to hear that for each one around us. You know, Cain said what? Cain said, God asked him about Abel, and Cain said, am I thy brother's keeper? Cain said, I'll be responsible for myself, but I'm not going to be responsible for someone else. Will you take responsibility for those around you? Take responsibility for encouraging them, for building faith, for building the courage to do the right thing, to follow God, even if it's frightening. Second of all, choose to take God at His word. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Says, he who follows him shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Like, if we are walking, if you're walking without him, you're walking in darkness. And this world is a mess. It's chaotic. There's sin and selfishness and all kinds of trouble on every side. If we're going to make it through, if you're going to get from your age, you know, to the day on your death, you know, the little bit of time between those two dashes on a tombstone, if you're going to get to that point, you need to make a decision that you're going to take God at His word, that you're going to say, man, God, That is a hard saying. That's how the disciples said it, right? They said, Lord, this is a hard saying. Who can accept this? You know, the reality is there's going to be times when that's how God's word feels to you. It's like, God, I really don't want to do this. Peter said, you know, Lord, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we're going to let down the net. And can we have the faith? Can we have the faith to do the thing that doesn't make sense? Put the net in on the other side, even though there's been no fish that's been caught. Can we have the faith to say, even though I haven't been feeling all the feelings that I thought I should be feeling, I'm going to take you at your word. And when you see one another, and when you see someone say something that's like, that doesn't line up with God's word, encourage them and say, hey, what does God's word say? Are we going to take God for what he says, no matter how it feels? Are we going to say, God, you know better than I do? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. This is one of the really important ones. Really, really important. First Peter chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, there was a church in the book of Revelation. Was it the church at Ephesus, I think? Listed off one thing after another that they were doing right. And then it said, I have this against you. You've left your first love. And it's really easy. It's really easy to get everything right. I've got my outward appearance right. I've got my home looks right. Everything looks right. People are so impressed. But you've left your first love. We need to encourage each other. Best way, I think, to encourage love is by showing it. But if we're going to make it, you know, there's a lot of individuals who don't make it, and there's a lot of churches who don't make it. Do you ever see people that are walking with God, and then all of a sudden, something snapped? You know, midlife crisis, and they're running with the devil. I mean, I was just reading in 2 Kings over about, I can't remember which king's name it was, and the scripture basically just laid it out and said, such and such a king turned away from following the Lord. If you want to make it, if we want to have each other make it, we need to encourage each other in that love. We need to encourage each other to stand. It goes very much along with love, actually. It's right in that same passage there in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Matthew chapter 24, if you want to turn over there. Matthew chapter 24. Start verse 9. It says, Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, there's, in the parable of the sower, there were the ones that fell away because of, you know, riches and the cares of this world. And there were also those who fell away because of persecution and affliction. And we see a lot of the first category, the ones, the cares of this world and the desire for riches. We see that right now. But there's going to be a time when there's persecution. There's going to be a time when we have to stand or face persecution. And it says, many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. You know, many Christians, many members of the church will even betray one another. We need to encourage each other to stand, to be the people that aren't going to do that. Be the ones that are going to be faithful to Jesus. We need to encourage each other to forgive. I think forgiveness is something that's pretty fearful to a lot of people. How can I forgive so-and-so for what he's done? I think sometimes we don't really read our Bibles as if we were there. We read the epistles that Paul writes and we're like, what a man of God. And we're like, and he says, like, you know, forgive one another. And we're like, oh, Paul, you don't know what the people around me have done. Who's Paul? Wasn't Paul someone that desperately needed forgiveness? Paul was somebody that did worse to the Christians than most anybody has ever done to me. Definitely. No one has ever hurt me to the degree that Paul hurt the Christians, persecuting them and trying to kill them. You know, we read the Psalms in David, you know, Psalm 51, was written as a prayer of David's repentance. You know, David committed adultery, but David repented. David had a true, heartfelt repentance. And I think the Bible says, consider the goodness and the severity of God. I don't think we really understand how serious God takes sin and how deserving of hell and deserving of punishment it is, but also how good and how merciful He is and how perfectly clean He can make you if there's true repentance. And if we aren't careful, forgiveness is a very unpopular thing in our country today. It's very unpopular to forgive. It's very popular to say, this person did something so many years ago, it's unforgivable. We can't ever forgive that. That mentality is not from God. We need to encourage each other to forgive, to not hold on to any roots of bitterness. The Bible says that roots of bitterness spring up, and by it many become defiled. Bitterness is going to drag, is going to drag people down as fast as anything. Forgiveness is the answer. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 16, it says, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear on the Lord and who meditate on his name. We who fear God, we have that opportunity to speak one to another, to encourage one another, to say, I know it's a challenge what you're going through. I know it's discouraging. I know maybe there's physical pain that you're dealing with. Maybe there's emotional pain. Maybe there's just hurts. Maybe people did hurt you really bad. We need to come alongside each other, encourage each other, and say, it's worth it. You can press on. You can win the battle. You can see God work. You can have a good end. Turn to 1 Samuel. I believe it's chapter 30. I didn't write this one down. 1 Samuel 30. First Samuel 30 and verse 1. It says, now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I don't know how much worse it could have got. Everybody you love is taken away captive by the enemy. And your own soldiers, the own team, your own people that you've built, you know, it'd be like everybody in his church, everybody on his team said, man, David can't even run this thing. Let's stone him and appoint a new leader. If I was in that position, it would be very tempting to just kind of go off the deep end. I think, wouldn't it? Everybody's against you, and those that aren't against you are in grave danger. It'd be really tempting to just be like, this is the end, I can't do it. He didn't even have anyone to encourage him. They were all looking for the right size stone. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There was nothing else he had, no one else he had to encourage himself in. We won't read for the sake of time, but you know, he went, he sought God, he asked God's advice, he asked God's counsel. God gave him directions. He went and overtook them, brought back his family. But God wants us to be people that have courage, people that see the frightening thing in life. You know? The devil's coming at you with lies every day. He's attacking every day. But we can see it. We can say, yes, that is frightening. But the Lord my God is with me whithersoever I go. I can go. I can go in faith. And I can see the other ones that are discouraged, that are hurting around me. I'm not going to say, they're not my problem. Am I my brother's keeper? No, I'm going to say, I want to see you guys. I want to see you guys doing well on the day that you stand before Jesus. The day that you stand before God and give an account of your life. And when you can't have your parents stand in there for you, you can't have anybody answer the phone call, you can't call your lawyer, we're going to have to answer to God for our lives. Now's the time to encourage those around us to do well, to walk by faith, to trust God and believe Him in spite of all the frightening things around. You're thinking of the ones. Think about the ones that God's really put on your heart, the ones near you, the ones that you know well, the ones that need encouragement. For certain people that you specifically, God is calling to encourage, to build them up, to help them to face what they're seeing in their life. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We ask that you would build each one up here today. Lord, we know that there are many, many discouraging things that happen in life. We know that we've got a real enemy. A real enemy who's seeking to divide your church. A real enemy who's seeking to divide families. We've got a real enemy who's seeking to destroy life in any way that he can. Lord, we see your people around. We see each one here, the ones that aren't here. We just pray that you would build them up. That you would give them the courage, the strength to press on, the strength to do the next right thing, the strength to walk with you. Lord, we just ask that you would just put different ones on each heart here. Help each one that's here to be an encourager, to be one that's building each other up in the body of Christ. Help us to just build your church, build your kingdom here. Help us to love fervently, to forgive, to obey you, Lord. Would you just continue to guide us and to teach us through this service? Help us to learn and grow. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name.